The giant coffee chain Starbucks is preparing to kick off a campaign known as Race Together. In partnership with USA Today, a series of inserts will be distributed tomorrow that aim to spark conversations about race in the U.S. And at Starbucks coffee houses, baristas will write the words Race Together on coffee cups. To-go ones, I guess, and hopefully launch conversations about race with their customers.
In the days leading up to the campaign launch, Starbucks is already hearing backlash from consumers who say this is an inappropriate move for a corporation to make.
Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz said he rejects that idea. He says these conversations are vitally important and need to be had in the wake of high-profile shootings of young African-American men by white police officers.
Cindy Kernahan is with us now. She's a professor of psychology at UW River Falls. She teaches about the psychology of prejudice and racism. Cindy, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks.
Well, so first of all, what do you think about this idea? We're going to focus on Starbucks because this is the angle here that's getting the most response. Starbucks writing Race Together on a coffee cup and then encouraging baristas and customers to have an impromptu conversation in the coffee house, I guess, about race.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of, issues or problems with it, right? So I understand why it sounds, I think superficially it sounds like a good idea. Like, let's just talk about race and that will help to solve it, because a lot of times talking about problems helps to solve them. But the problem here, I think, is sort of twofold. One is that, you know, if you have a good understanding about race and racism in America, you know that it's not really just about people's personal feelings or perspectives. There's this big, large, you know, set of institutional structures and policies and systems and all that, and most importantly, history. And so all of that is hard to have in a short conversation. You know, I mean, that's one thing. And then the other thing that I think is difficult, right, is that you really need some expertise to talk about this. I have to say, as someone who's been teaching about it for a long time, over 15 years now, it's really hard to do this well. I mean, it's hard to do it in a way that isn't just, you know, sort of beating the other person over the head with your opinion and really being open. That just takes a lot of work. And so I've read about it, and there's no real training for the baristas or anything like that. And I can tell you, it takes a lot of training, I think, to do it well. So those are kind of the main, I guess, concerns I would have.
And the commentary is already exploding about the ways that could go wrong. There's a tweet here from Gwen Ifill, PBS NewsHour host, on Twitter. She wrote, "Honest to God, if you start to engage me in a race conversation before I've had my morning coffee, it will not end well." That from Gwen Ifill. So if Gwen Ifill can't have a decent conversation, I mean, what is the hope for the average person?
Right. And I think, again, what that speaks to is that it's more than just an individual perspective. There's this big, long history, which is part of what makes it so hard. And I mean, you can see this in lots of places where we try to have conversations, right? Think about Hurricane Katrina, or if you really want to go back, think about O.J. Simpson. And, you know, white and black folks had really different responses to that. And part of the reason for that is because, you know, there are different day-to-day experiences. And also, I think there's a lot of research that shows that, you know, when black Americans look at events like that, it's not just about Ferguson, let's say, it's about the larger context of police sort of brutality and discrimination that they're more likely to experience, whereas white people don't really have that. And since we don't have that experience, I should say, and maybe don't have that more contextual understanding, so there, you know, that's part of why it's so difficult to talk about, because people are coming from these very different sets of experiences and understandings.
So when you take out the ways in which it could go wrong, the mm-hmm. lack of a common frame for people who are talking, is there still something sort of bravely naive or naively brave maybe about this movie?
I think that's a good
Starbucks.
Way of putting it. Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. I understand. I think I understand why. I mean, I've read some of what Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks, had to say about it. And I think it's like, hey, you know, we're not talking about this. This is obviously a problem. People obviously have these really different perspectives. So I can see why it seems like it should work. I just think without the training and that's the part that's naive, right? It's like we can do this without having any sort of facilitators or having sort of a deeper set of information to come from.
Do you think just having this originate from a corporation like Starbucks is part of the problem, that this is just sort of inherently the wrong venue and having it, it's not monetized, but it's happening because of a monetary exchange.
Yeah.
Is there a better way for a different entity to do this, or Starbucks should, they just shouldn't have tried it at all?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm naive, but I sort of take them at their word that they actually, like, they really want to do something about this. But I do think that that does make people inherently skeptical of it. I mean, when you read some of the commentary and some of the backlash online, what you see is that there are plenty of people who say, this is just about making the Starbucks logo look good. This is just about making them look progressive. And this is just part of their sort of corporate MO, you know, to take on controversial or sort of touchy topics or whatever. So, I mean, I don't know that that's true, but I do think you're right that that probably serves to make people skeptical rather than sort of welcoming or open. And this is a space that people are, I can tell you teaching it, people are sort of automatically coming in with their defenses up when they talk about this. Even students who sign up for a class called the Psychology of Prejudice and Racism, they come in, you know, a little nervous, which makes sense because we don't, especially white Americans, don't talk about race a lot. So I think, yeah, that's just going to make it all that much harder.
If Starbucks does want to contribute to positive conversations about race, mm-hmm. and foster understanding, empathy, all of that, mm-hmm. as a corporation, what should they do? What would have been a better move for them to make?
Oh, gosh. Well, that's such a fun question. So I can think of a couple of things. One, right, is that I think it would be, to me, having taught this for a long time, one of the things that I think is the most important element that's missing in terms of people not coming from a common frame, as you put it, is historical understanding. So I think, like, if I were planning it, I don't know what those inserts in USA Today are going to be tomorrow, but I would want them to be all about sort of connecting the past to the present. And there's some really good writers on race that are out there today, right? So like Ta-Nehisi Coates is someone that I think of right off the bat. He's a writer for The Atlantic, and he wrote a long piece last year that got a lot of attention and awards, The Case for Reparations. That particular piece has a lot of historical information in it. So, you know, I'd have to think about how to design them, but definitely I think those inserts should not just be different people's perspectives necessarily, but sort of a deeper historical understanding. The other thing that might be fun, and this just occurs to me in the fantasy of this question, right, is that what would be so fun if they could use their store, the spaces, not for baristas to have to do this work, because I think that's kind of unfair for them, given that they don't really have any training. But what if they hired a bunch of people who know how to teach about race or know how to facilitate those conversations? There are a lot of people like that, not just college professors, but lots of people. Then this is a whole scholarly area, and it's a lot of work to do this. And so a lot of people have written articles and books about how to do this. Hire those people to facilitate some in-store conversations. That might be really fun. Not as quick, not as easy, but it could be much more effective, I think.
Interesting ideas there. Well, to see if Starbucks pays attention to you. So barring your suggestions there, Starbucks goes its own way. But what is a good way to have a collective conversation? Because this is something that's not just happening in one state, one city. It's happening nationwide right now. How do we effectively have a collective conversation about race or anything, I guess?
Yeah, well, I think it comes back to that sort of common frame. I mean, the way that I like to teach about it is that I want everybody to read the same thing before class. And so, you know, maybe that might be the best way to have these kinds of conversations is to have them where, you know, people either see the same video or read the same something, some piece of content or something that they can have that's thought provoking. And there's no shortage of that kind of material out there. That helps a lot. I think the other thing too, is that these kinds of conversations really need to be structured if possible, which I know is not as easy, but it does help a lot. And a lot of research shows, like, people are really nervous going into conversations like this, understandably. And so I think that's why structure helps a lot, you know, having someone to guide the discussion, having a common set of information to work from. Again, it makes it harder, and it's not as quick or simple, but I think it's definitely more effective. That's what I've seen in teaching.
We're talking right now with Cindy Kernahan, professor of psychology at UW River Falls, about a new campaign by Starbucks and USA Today that hopes to spark a national conversation about race.
And we want to hear from you. What do you think about this effort, the idea of a big coffee shop chain trying to provoke friendly conversations about race in the United States? Is this the right way to go about this, or do you think there's a better way to address the issue of race in America? Is this an issue you feel comfortable talking about with people you know well, much less the person pouring your latte? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk at WPR.org.
We're talking now with Cindy Kernahan of UW River Falls about how to effectively have a meaningful dialogue about race in America. Starbucks launches a campaign tomorrow called Race Together that's trying to do just that.
And we want to hear from you. Is this something you think is long overdue? Have you tried to have conversations about race with your network of friends, family, acquaintances, coworkers? How did it go? Is a coffee shop the place to try to provoke these conversations? Share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk at WPR.org.
And we're going to go to our first caller. Nathan joins us now in Brookfield. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had two comments here. The first was, I think open conversation is a good thing. You don't need to be an expert in something to have a discussion and learn from people. The second point that I'd like to make is the comment that white people can't experience racism or understand that. There's racism going on in every single direction, regardless of who you are.
All right, Nathan, appreciate your call and your thoughts there. And Cindy, what do you think about that? If we want to have an open conversation, if someone is amenable to getting that coffee cup with Race Together and wants to chat, I mean, is there anything wrong with just going ahead and taking a swing at it?
No, not necessarily. And I don't think necessarily you have to be an expert to talk about it. I just think it helps to have an expert there to facilitate it, because it is a difficult thing to do. I mean, one thing that I think illustrates that, right, is the idea that of who experiences racism. When I was talking before, I didn't mean that white people don't experience prejudicial treatment or they don't experience racist treatment. That's not what I meant. What I mean is that when you look at people's experiences, they are different. There's lots of research that shows that I think there's a poll last year, for example, that showed that Black Americans, almost 50% of them said that at some point in their lives they had experienced discrimination at the hands of police, whereas the same number for white Americans was, I think, less than 1% or something. And so that difference in day-to-day experience is important. It can be hard to bridge that in conversation. And so I think sometimes that can be heard as, you know, I think it takes work and effort to sort of be able to imagine the other person's experience if you've never had that. And so that comment of, you know, who experiences racism, I think is easy to misunderstand if you don't have sort of a structure and someone there to help with that conversation. So I don't mean that you can't talk about it. I just think it's helpful and it's more likely to be useful if you have some expertise around.
Well, Nathan, thanks for the call. And we're going to go next to Ellen in Middleton. Ellen, hi.
Hi. My son is a barista at Starbucks out at the mothership in Seattle. And I spoke with him about this, and he thought it was the most ridiculous thing he'd heard of. For one thing, there's a very practical issue of baristas needing to serve coffee. They are not there to have discussions about race. Most Starbucks are very busy, and this just seems ridiculous. Second thing is, what does Race Together mean? I mean, what does that mean? If they want to write something on a cup, why don't they go back into some great quotes and use the ability to print up a bunch of cups with some thoughtful quotes that people can sit at a coffee table and discuss maybe while they're drinking their coffee? But to give this task to baristas, untrained baristas, that's also maybe right under baristas are busy. Baristas are not trained to talk about race.
Got it. Thank you, Ellen. I just want to get our guest in this because we're getting a little short on time. And Cindy, it was interesting to hear a perspective from a barista, because that hasn't been a point of view that's been out there. I don't know if they're allowed to publicly voice their opinions right now or not, but that's one, and the time pressure there. What do you think about what Ellen had to say?
Yeah, I wonder about that because we haven't heard from them. I mean, that's the one, I was thinking that earlier today, that's the one perspective that's really been missing in all this blowback and discussion about it. You don't see any of the people who work at Starbucks, or at least I haven't seen them commenting. And I think her comment was really interesting about putting thoughtful quotes and letting people discuss. That reminds me of the, was it Chipotle last year, I think, that had authors write poetry or write short stories on their bags or something. I don't know if I'm getting the chain mixed up, but that was something that I think is sort of an interesting idea because, again, that gives you a common framework to talk from, which I think makes it a little easier.
Well, thanks a bunch, Ellen. We're going to go next to Donald in Green Bay. Hi, Donald.
Hello there. I guess I'm going to be one of the few contrary voices here. I was a college professor myself at the University of Minnesota, where I taught anthropology and American Indian Studies. And my opinion is anything that starts a dialogue is a good thing. I mean, if we had to wait for the experts to settle in and deliver some wise sage advice, we'd still have slavery. I'm American Indian. My people would still be being shot somewhere riding a horse around. You have to do things that engage everyone, and wherever you begin is a beneficial beginning.
All right. Thank you so much, Donald. Appreciate that point of view. And Ellen, we've only got a little bit of time left here, but what about that just opening the door? I'm sorry, not Cindy. What about just opening the door for conversation anywhere that you find that door? I mean, you don't find Starbucks in all neighborhoods, certainly, but where you do, is that okay, what Donald's saying?
Yeah, I think so. Again, my point about expertise is just that I think it's more likely to make it useful and meaningful and actually get somewhere. And so that's all I mean when I talk about having experts. Certainly, it's good to talk about stuff, but I think what experts do is they, experts in teaching, I should say, can help you sort of structure that conversation in a way that allows everybody to feel heard, to be heard, and to get somewhere at the end of it.
And Cindy, we're just about out of time, but if you go into a Starbucks and you see that Race Together on your cup, are you going to have that talk?
I think I would feel bad asking the, again, just that issue of like, do they have time? Do they want to talk about it? I think I'd feel a little bit nervous. So I even though I've been teaching this for a long time, I'd probably wait to see what they did first because I wouldn't want to be intrusive.
All right. Well, Cindy, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That was Cindy Kernahan, professor of psychology at UW River Falls. She teaches about the psychology of racism and prejudice.